Good morning. Huh, what a weekend. What a weekend. You guys are fantastic. Thank you. My heart's churning. I'd like to welcome you this Resurrection Sunday. If you have your bulletin, you can pull it out. We have some notes in there that if you'd like to follow along. Today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that's very encouraging to my heart, and I trust it will be to yours as well this Easter Sunday. As I thought about the message, I thought about four things, and if you look on page 2 of your bulletin, you'll see them there. First, number 1, Roman numeral number 1, the words, "It is finished." And I was meditating on the Friday 2,000 years ago when Jesus took my place. And Jesus took it for me. And this Friday, we had a Good Friday service, and the side sections were taken out, and we were able to take communion after we remembered what Jesus had done in our place. And my wife and I were sitting right here, and we were one of the last to walk up and get, and there was a young woman from our church. Has been coming just for a short while, and she was weeping. And Carol, my wife, said, "Hey, Wayne, come here. She wants to tell you something." And I said, "Oh, what's going on, young lady?" And she said, "This is the first time I've ever understood what Jesus did for me." And she was just weeping, thinking what Jesus had done in her place. And she was able to take communion for the first time as a Christian. And I thought about 2,000 years ago when Jesus hung on that cross and he cried out those beautiful words in one word in the original language, "Tetelestai," the victory shout, which means "it is finished" or "paid in full. I've paid the ransom for my people." And meditating on Friday that he took it for me did something to my heart. What a weekend. And just humbled me and made me exceedingly glad that he suffered and died in my place. Point number 2, I talked to Darren and a couple other people. I'm kind of a guy who likes to party more than be solemn. But Friday was a solemn day, and I reflected on what Jesus had done. Today's the party. Today is the party. We could hear it. And the second point I thought about, he is alive. He is alive. Darren prayed it earlier. He is risen. He's risen indeed. I'm a simpler man. I just like to say he's alive. And the angels 2,000 years ago told those frightened women that early Sunday morning that the grave is empty. There were footprints coming out of that grave, and that proclaimed Jesus was Lord. Someone had come back from the dead. And that flipped this world upside down. If he's back from the dead, everything changes. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't keep him. He's alive. And our song said just a minute ago, forever. Our God is alive forever. Jesus is alive. And I would like to pose this thought to you. Jesus died and rose again to invite me and you to a party. And not just any party, his party. A banquet of global and eternal proportions, overflowing with singing, rejoicing, peace, and happiness. I'd like to read to you how Isaiah puts it in Isaiah chapter 25, speaking of this great feast that human beings are invited to. Isaiah declares, "On this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. In that day they will say, 'Surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation.'" Yes, Jesus Christ died a horrible death for sinners like me. And yes, Jesus Christ went into that tomb on Friday, spent all day Saturday, and early Sunday morning, he rose from the dead and has defeated death, the devil, and our greatest fears. And this we rejoice about this Easter Sunday as we realize and reflect and rejoice that Jesus is Lord and he is alive and the tomb is empty. And we're invited to a party. I can't wait. Well, if you turn in your bulletins, I'd like to read to you a passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 14. We took the liberty of printing out the passage for you so we could read along. A little backdrop, Jesus, this is just a little bit before he goes to the cross, and Jesus is eating a meal, in the house of a prominent Pharisee in Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 15. I'd like to read verse 13 and 14 to kind of get the context for you. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there, or you can just turn to the bulletin. The backdrop of what is happening, Jesus is speaking to these very influential men at this dinner party, and he says, "When you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." And that's kind of the backdrop, and I'd like to read the passage and then pray, and we'll look at it together. Luke 14, starting in verse 15. You can follow along in your bulletin if you like. "Well, when one of those at the table heard this about the resurrection of the righteous, the party that is to come, he said to Jesus, 'Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God.' And Jesus replied, 'A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." The servant came back and reported this to his master. The owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house may be full." Will you pray with me? Father, I'm so excited to be here today. I'm so thankful that you found me and you changed me. Thank you so much, Lord, for you didn't invite me to the party once. You invited me over and over and over again. And thank you, Lord, that I'm going. Thank you, Lord, that the best is yet to come. Thank you, Lord, that it is finished. I worship you, Lord, that you are alive. And I thank you, Lord, for this story Jesus told right before he went to the cross. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to hearts today, and those who love your son Jesus would love him more and be more excited about the party. And those who know about you but aren't yet coming, Lord, would surrender to Jesus and lay down their excuses and come. I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, we already have the passage in front of us. What I'd like to do is just kind of let the word do the work. We'll kind of look at these verses together, and I'll just make some comments. We'll have a little mini Bible study together. So as you remember, he is at this Pharisee's house. And then verse 15, we're going to pick it up. "When one of those at the table heard about the resurrection, the party to come," the man would have said, "I know about Isaiah 25. I've read that numbers of times. I know about the feast that's coming." So it says, "When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus," you're going to have to bear with me. Every time I've read this past couple weeks, I keep getting in my mind Thurston Howell III's voice from Gilligan's Island. If you remember that rich man that was stuck on the island, I know this is the second reference in 2 weeks to Gilligan's Island, but I just keep hearing his voice with teeth clenched. "Oh, lovey, lovey, we're going to the club today." Well, if you can picture that voice, I think that man might have had a voice similar, because he was an affluent, well-to-do man, and he was kind of on the inn, and he said, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And I see this man kind of was presuming that he was going to the party. "Well, of course I'll be there. I'm Jewish. Of course I'll be there. I'm a law-abiding, upstanding Pharisee. I'm not like a Gentile dog. Of course I'll be at the feast. How blessed it will be when I am there. I'm not like other men. I'm a good Jew." And we laugh at that, and I laugh at that. But I also thought today there's some similarities to people that I run into in this world. Most people I run into aren't saying, "Well, I'm going to die and go to hell when I die." Most people think they're going to the party as well, and they'll say, "Of course I'll be there. I've read the Bible." I've had people say, "I've read the Bible cover to cover." I say, "Oh, can you tell me one verse?" "Well, I don't remember anything." I'm a law-abiding American. Of course, I'll be at the party. Of course, I'll be there. I've never killed anyone. I've heard that before. I go to church when it's not raining. I was baptized as a baby. Of course, I'm going. Heck, I even vote Republican. I'm a good person. Of course, I'm going to the party. And it's interesting. Jesus didn't affirm or not affirm the man. Instead, he told him a story. And in front of these important, influential guests, Jesus replied, verse 16. I love Jesus when he talks like this. He tells the man a story. He says, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. So obviously this was a wealthy man having quite a banquet and inviting many guests. And it says, at the time of the banquet, verse 16, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. Now, a little backdrop, in biblical days, they had what was called a pre-invite. An invite will go out maybe a week, possibly 2 weeks, even a month in advance, kind of we have today a save-the-date type deal. This was a pre-invite, telling people to come. It's going to be coming, so I'm preparing everything. Come when I call you. And obviously, they all said, yes, I'll be there. Of course I'm going. I wouldn't miss it for the world. Yeah, count me in. Because it took all the while to make all the preparations. And obviously, everyone said yes. Now, second part, it says, come, everything is now ready. And I thought about everything ready. If you remember, in biblical times, there was no electricity, there was no running water, there was no refrigeration, you couldn't run out to the grocery store, there was no catering available. So when it says everything is now ready, the bread was made, the fruits and vegetables had been harvested and prepared, animals had been slaughtered, prepared, cooked to tender, juicy perfection. This incredible banquet with many guests is ready. And in this story, everything is now ready, the man says. I have good news for you. Jesus says the same thing to us today. Everything is now ready. It is finished. I am alive. Everything is ready. Everything is now ready, brothers and sisters. Everything is ready for us to attend his party. Well, 18, 19, and 20, I kind of, those of you over 30, do you remember these things called records? And you ever remember when you take the needle and just kind of scratch it? That's kind of what I see here in the story. Suddenly, everything takes a crazy turn. And verse 18, it says, but they all alike began to make excuses. How incredibly offensive and insulting to the master of the banquet. They make excuses. And before we read these three excuses they make, I thought, what are some excuses we can make today? And I looked up online on yahooanswers.com, top 10 excuses for not going to a party you said you would attend. So people just kind of wrote them in and they kind of listed them. So top 10 excuses for not going to a party you said you would attend. You kind of changed your mind. Said you go, said no. Number 10, my car just died. I don't have a ride. Please excuse me. And number 9, I just got called into work. Please excuse me. I can't come to your party. I just got food poisoning. I can't come. I kind of go away after 24 hours. They'll never know. Keeping on the food theme, I'm on a diet. I kind of was going to go, and now I'm kind of started this Atkins diet thing. I'm not going to make it. Please excuse me. Number 6, my kid's in a playoff baseball game. I can't make it that day. Please excuse me. Couldn't find a babysitter. That's kind of a good one. You're like, I don't have kids. Couldn't find a dog sitter. It'll work. I can't come. I got my kids that weekend. Please excuse me. Number 3, sudden plumbing leak. Can't come. Please excuse me. I've got nothing to wear. Heard that before. And the ever popular, never gets old, something suddenly came up. We've all used it. Something suddenly came up. I can't come. Today's slang vernacular for the under 30 crowd is, ain't nobody got time for that. Even the over 30 crowd like that. Yeah, I just don't got time for that. And for the man throwing the party in this story, it would have been incredibly offensive. And God is throwing a party. He's sent his son to die, to rise again, and he's inviting everyone. And verse 18, it says, they all began to make excuses. So let's see if the biblical excuses are better than the top 10 YahooAnswers.com excuses were. The first said, verse 18, I've just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Please excuse me. And at first blush, it seems that maybe that's okay, but buying a field and without ever seeing it, no one really buys land without checking it out first to make sure it's good. I had a friend, Nick Marigos, used to run REMAX here in town. I said, "Hey, Nick, does anybody ever buy property from you without looking at it first?" He's like, "You're kidding. I got some swampland in Florida if you want that too." He's like, "No, that's a bogus excuse. Nobody buys land without checking it out." So excuse number one, Verse 19, another said to this man, "I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Really? On your way to try them out? I saw Roger Crum over here. He sells cars and used cars. I guarantee you, he has yet to sell a used car at Racine Auto Group without a person trying it out first. No, we try out a car before we would ever buy a used car. And in the same vein, in biblical times, you wouldn't buy 5 yoke of oxen sight unseen and just kind of, "Well, I hope they work. I gave the guy the money." It's like, no, that's kind of a lie there too. The excuse doesn't hold water. In verse 20, still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." What? Take her with. She'll love it. She'll love the banquet. It'll be fantastic. I thought about Bryce Lenz, who got married this past summer. If he was invited to this incredible party, he said, "Well, I can't come because I'd have to bring my wife." It's like, what are you talking about? Abby will love it. Bring her as well. No. These are all horrible excuses, and they don't hold water at the end of the day. Well, Jesus' story continues in verse 21. It says, the servant came back and reported this to his master. "Will you listen to this? I know the food's done. I can smell it cooking. I see everything looks elaborate and fantastic. They're not coming. I know they said they're coming. They're not coming." So the owner, I thought, had two options right here in Jesus' story. He could either cancel the party and we'll just kind of feast for a year, or we can invite other people. And praise God, we serve a gracious, long-suffering God. And in this story, the master and our Lord goes another route, and he doesn't cancel the party. Second half of verse 21 says, "The owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the,'" here it is, "'the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.'" In our story, of course, they're going to respond positively. They're outcasts. It's the same with the good news of Jesus today. The ones who most likely respond are the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. My brothers and sisters, those of you who know Jesus Christ, remember 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, "Think of what you were when you were called, because God chose the foolish things of the world. God chose the weak things of the world. God chose the lowly things of the world. God chose the despised things of the world." That fits me to a T. And in this story, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame are all invited, and they come. And I thought about, in a spiritual sense, how we are poor. We're poor in spirit. Remember in the Kingdom Living series we've been going to, that kind of very first verse we looked at, Matthew 5, verse 3, "Blessed," Jesus said, "blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You got nothing working in your resume, and you need Jesus. You're poor. I'm also crippled. I've been crippled by sin time and time again. It's defeated me, and I need Jesus' help. I'm not ashamed to admit that I've been crippled by sin and I need Jesus. I'm also blind. I can't find my way without him. Like the blind man in John chapter 9, I cry out, "Have mercy on me, a sinner. I can't see. I can't see where I'm going. If the truth were known, I need help." And finally, the lame. Sin has done a number on me. I've taken a lot of shrapnel from sin in my life. And also my good deeds are kind of like filthy rags in God's sight. No, I'm disabled. I'm lame, and I am poor. The man speaking the word of truth to you today is poor, crippled, blind, and lame. And when I finally admitted it at 29 years old, I was invited and came to the party. And my friends, RBC is full today of broken people who are so thankful to be attending the party, because we believe and we know that it is finished. He is alive, and we believe everything's ready. Last couple verses. "Sir," the servant said, we got better news, even good news, on top of good news. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done. Here it is. There is still room. There is still room. If you came here today and you're not right with God, if you haven't surrendered your will to Jesus' will and Jesus has become Lord and you're still Lord of your life, I have some good news for you. There is still room. There is still room at the banquet. I was reminded when I first became a Christian, I took out my little sister on her 18th birthday, and I told her all about Jesus, much to what I've been telling you, how great Jesus is for the past 15 minutes. And I said, Jennifer, Jesus is wonderful. He loves you. And she said with just a humble voice, do you think God has anything for me? I said, Jennifer, we have some good news for you. There's still room. And right there in my car, she asked Jesus to come into her life, wash away her sin, and make her a new creation in Christ. And he can do it again today. This Easter Sunday can be your day. Because according to God's word, there is still room. Point number four, there is still room. Verse 23, the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them. Beg, plead, cry out to people. Compel them to come in so that my house will be full. This Easter Sunday morning, I'd like to compel you to come to Jesus. I'd like to end with these few words. The Bible says Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. If you would acknowledge that you are a sinner today, Jesus Christ is willing to save. Would you give your life to Jesus? Let me read a couple things as you finish up our time this morning. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2 say these words. God speaking of the party that is to come. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good and you will delight in the richest of fare. And then he goes on in verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Jesus Christ calls every man and woman under the sound of my voice to the party today. If you would surrender your life to Jesus Christ and say, save me today, Lord Jesus. Jesus says these words and we're done. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart. You will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. The title of the message is the same for my plea to you. Please come. Don't miss it. Lay down those excuses and come to Jesus today. And Easter Sunday 2016 will be the greatest day of your life. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you that it is finished. Your son paid everything. He paid the ransom for us to go scot-free on that great and dreadful day of judgment. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're alive. I spoke with you this morning and sang with you later. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are alive. I thank you, Lord, that everything is now ready. There's nothing else to do but trust in Jesus. And finally, Lord, I thank you for the great words of this text. There is still room. I pray for the one who's not yet coming to the party. I pray, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation. I love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that I get to sing to you now in your name. Amen.